Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Here's the thing. I've buried, I don't know how many dogs now.
Jesus.
No. Going back to childhood, I've buried a handful of dogs.
First of all, why are you burying dogs? I thought you meant that metaphorically.
I did. Like, I'm not burying them in my backyard. Okay. What are you talking about?
Wait a minute. I don't want to get PETA called on you.
There's at least one dog buried in your backyard in your life.
I know there's a cat back there.
There's a couple of cats. Yeah. There's a couple of cats.
This is The Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
Pardon it.
Here's your host, Greg Cody.
Dad, I feel like we could make a Christmas jingle just on the spot right here.
Let's do it.
You want to? What part of the music do you want to do? You want me to do the music? And you? I mean, this is Yeti's wheelhouse, but I think we should not let Yeti participate because right. I think it'll...
The floor is yours.
Yeah, I think it'll stress him out, like not participating. So like, let's me right. and you do this. Just us.
Well, my greatest hit, singular.
Your hit is just putting like the B sound in front of everything. Hello.
No. My greatest hit is my nuts roasting on an open fire.
You do really pull. You bust that one out every year.
Frost snipping at my ass.
Jesus, I never heard that part.
Yeah, you know, we're getting a little rowdy here.
A ziddly bop bop. A ziddly bop bop.
There you go. All right, what do you got, kid?
What?
Beat that. I mean, top that. We're riffing here on a jingle. Let's go.
I mean, you're going like lowest common denominator comedy right there. I mean, I don't know. I live way above that. I don't.
Okay.
I'll never succumb to that level of comedy.
All right. Speaking of Christmas, though, I need to congratulate two people you've never heard of, Suzanne and Thomas Jeromin, Jeromin. Just a few days ago, on November 30th, 2023. They set a world record for most decorated Christmas trees in one home. The total?
Yeah.
555 Christmas trees decorated in their home.
That's ridiculous.
Greg, if this was your neighbor, you would be berating them right now, but here you are congratulating them.
Okay, I would be rating them if those trees were outside where I had to look at them. I don't care if they keep them hidden in, I don't care if they have 40 of them in their car. As long as I don't have to see it. You know what I'm saying?
Now, I imagine that you would see it if they were in your neighborhood because they would just be bursting out of their house with trees. This is a ridiculous amount of trees.
It is.
How many did you say?
555. That's going to be a big ass house.
That's got to make the person with like 72 just be like, I'm not even close.
Right, but who has 72?
I'm just saying, that's my point. Is there somebody out there with 72 that's like, why has nobody written an article about me yet? It's like, because there's someone out there with 555. Is this one of these things where it's a farm and it's like they technically just have 500 because they're like selling? Or is this technically in a house inside that?
You know what? I saw the photo. It was two older folks.
Of course.
And they look like regular people. They didn't look like tree farmers. They look like regular nuts, you know, just incredibly insane people. But
are you doing this thing where like for the next few weeks, every episode is going to have some sort of holiday theme?
Yes. Like my nuts roasting. Yes. That's
like,
correct.
did you feel this, I feel obligated to talk something holiday here. Like, we could just talk. It's okay. December. It's early December.
I know, but it happens to be the holidays.
You're already trying to shove Dave Barry down my throat.
You got like, that right. Dave Barry's holiday Cody Show podcast.
We lost.
Wait a minute. I think I did.
The audience got lucky there, and you cut out midway through Dave Barry.
I know, because you know what was happening? I was trying to multitask. I was getting ready to mute myself to cough to clear my throat.
And that's when you said, Dave Barry.
I know. Dave Barry, the holiday gift god and guide, is going to be on our show upcoming. But I am shopping the other day. And by the way, speaking of 555 trees in a house, a few years ago, I tried to convince your mother to get a second tree in the house, and she wouldn't have it. I pictured one of those little 4-foot trees in like a different room, in like a, you know, the TV room or something. And she's like, nah, that's ridiculous.
Good. Thank you, Earlene. My wife's on this kick now. She wants to, we should get, she's looking on Facebook Marketplace for people getting rid of their trees. We could use one in the dining room. I'm like, why? Just, we've got a nice tree. Leave it.
Dad, what did you just say? Go back to shopping. What kind of shopping were you doing recently?
Well, we bought our tree last night.
Okay.
We went to the usual place, had a great guy helping us with the tree. This guy's fantastic. I asked him if I could grow my own tree. And he said, not here, you can't. You have to like buy it from ours came from North Carolina. Personally grown just for us. Price tag, exorbitant. $150 we paid for this tree. Okay, I don't live in a mansion. My tree tops out at 7 feet. And even then, I usually have to trim it to get the angel on top.
That's why I've gone fake. We did this show a couple weeks ago. Like that's why I'm team fake tree now. Like, it's the same price every year.
I will pay $150, but have the right to complain about it. Yeah, a couple of years ago, it was like $75, $80. When did it double in price?
Get off my lawn, tree.
I mean, listen, here's my problem with paying $150.
Dad, everything's more expensive. I used to be able to go to lunch for $20, and now it's like $58 every time.
Okay, here's the thing.
Christy and I go to lunch.
All right, that kind of thing. I have two trees in my backyard that cost about $150. One is a beautiful palm tree, and the other is the little gem magnolia, which is, you know, a problem child. It got its wing cut off. You know, that's that story.
It was desecrated by a bounce house worker for my daughter's like first birthday.
I know, but I continue to love it. It's my problem child. But at any rate,
all right, Dad, trees are expensive. All right, come. All right, we got the point, Dad. Things used to be cheaper. Like, land the plane.
Here's the problem. Okay, quit trying to hurry me. It's my podcast. The problem is I have this tree for a month. I'm paying $150 to have a tree in my house for a month. Everybody should have a free tree. There's a chicken in every...
Dad, I have a free tree. I have a free tree.
No, because you... How much did you pay for your fake tree?
Like $78 or something.
Okay, and it's going to be fake every year.
Yeah, and it's great. It was just in my... I walk in, I open one door, and boom, my tree's here. There's no stress. I don't have to do the thing where it's like, how much are we tipping this guy? $5, $10? I know you're probably doing like $2 or $3.
No,
like,
I tipped the guy $10.
I'm like, do you have a 10? Yeah, it's because no one had a 5. I was like, honey, do you have a 20? Like, what do we have here? We have to go to the gas station. We have to like break change. Yeah, and then it's like, ridiculous. I got to get the shit on my car, then the string. And then Grayson wants to touch the string in the back seat. It's just, it's a whole ordeal. Whereas now it's just boom, tree, done. No stress.
Okay. Everybody should get a free real tree.
Dad, I'm okay with that. If they were just giving them out for free, I might get a fake tree. I mean, a real tree, but they don't. Yeah.
No, a chicken in every pot, a tree in every living room. And if you don't celebrate Christmas, look, if you don't celebrate Christmas, you're free to, you know, give the tree to your neighbor. You're free to sell it on eBay. Is eBay still a thing? I don't even know.
I think it is.
Yeah. Is it? Okay. At any rate, thank you and congrats, Suzanne and Thomas Jeremin, the Christmas tree lunatics who have 555 trees in their living room.
You're quoting Herbert Hoover from 1928, the chicken in every pot.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Herbert.
That's a new one for me.
That's a modern reference for you.
You had been at the Herald for 5 years at that point.
What year was it?
1928.
Like, what are you doing referencing that?
A chicken in every pot.
Like, I mean, you need to get with the times, my friend.
I am with the times.
Dad, what'd you think about SI naming Deion Sanders Sportsman of the Year?
Oh, it's so ridiculous. You know, was that artificial intelligence that made that choice?
Saying that, like, everyone, it's always been said under, like, people always said it. It was like an unwritten thing that award is really just the September and October award.
Right.
So if you dominate September and October, you do generally win that award.
Yeah. I normally don't criticize other media because I'm in the media, the mainstream media.
Not a great week for SI.
Mm-mm.
That used to be such a brand. I grew up like saving all my SIs. I had a big stack of them in the house. And if you were named SI Sportsman of the Year, it used to be a big deal. That was like a big major honor. And now with this controversy, They used to be known for their photography, world-class photography. Like 10 years ago, they basically did away with all their photographers. And that was the beginning of the end. And now it's a shell of itself. And it was long before this AI debacle. You know, Sears used to be the major retailer in the country.
Oh, wow. We're talking SIs in Sears territory now. Wow.
Yeah, they are. Sears just folded, though.
Like, SI is, like, on this, like, downward trajectory. You know, it's like Sears at least was like, all right, guys, we're out of here.
Right.
Like, SI is, like, still around. And it's just
let's
like,
cut our costs to increase profit margins, and they've lost all the soul in doing so.
Right.
For me, it's when they lost Jessica Smetana. I was like, that's it. They're done.
That was the beginning of the end. You're right.
But like, honestly though, like, what are some other brands that we can think of where it's like once a dominant powerhouse in its sector and now is just like, I can't honestly think of like, I don't like that's the leader in the clubhouse in terms of just like, oof, like it's just like SI, a pain, like a power, like a sad story.
If we're sticking with sports, Deadspin used to be better and bigger than it is now.
Yeah.
Definitely Sports Illustrated.
Hasn't the New York Times taken a hit in the last few years as far as their credibility, or I'm not sure.
I think mainstream media, including the Washington Post, the New York Times, LA Times, all of those have taken a hit only in the sense of, you know, Trump saying everybody's lying. You know,
is that the biggest effect when we look back at this 50 years from now? Like, the Trump effect is the media being less credible.
The Trump effect is not the media being less credible, it's the media being perceived as less credible, and that's an important distinction.
Well, there's just so much media now
perception of changing the perception,
right?
But the thing is that there is so much quote unquote media now that there is a lot of bad media. That's not to say that the top and some of the things, some of the places that Trump went after are legitimate, not like, but there is so much media that you can say that there is plenty of misinformation going around.
Right. No, that's true. Look at us.
Look at this range that this show has. God damn, we're good.
I know. At any rate, to get back to how you began this conversation, the idea of naming Deion Sanders the Sportsman of the Year, I think, is a little bit ridiculous, to be honest. And I'm not saying he needed to have a bowl season or have a great year, but he ended with 6 losses in a row. He was 2-8.
But what was the
Pac-12?
I would agree if it was sports person of the college football season, because if you said to me what was the biggest talking point of this college football season, I'm not going to push back on Colorado, because even though they did fall off, Alabama has not been they lost. So it's like, what's the huge story? Like, Georgia's just the same team still going. Like, I would argue, but it's not that. It's the whole sports person of the entire year. So you're talking about all the champions in the other sports. Like, right. So I don't know why it's the sports person of the year, but it is the biggest story this year in college football, even with the fall off.
Well, they could be taking an approach like Time does with their person of the year. It's not like the person who had the most accomplished or it's kind of who captured the zeitgeist.
Yeah.
And he did this year,
in college football.
Right. True. Right. But I mean, if you just look at sports talk and ESPN coverage and things like that, that was pretty dominant for a good portion of 2 months. For 2 months is a decent portion of the year,
yeah.
You know? Right. And because the Time person of the year, it's been a whole range of people. There's been some terrible people they put as person of the year, not because they're great people, but because they dominated the conversation.
Not that Deion's a bad person.
Right. I'm just saying he didn't have to, as Greg said, have a bowl season. He commanded all conversation for a solid 2 months.
Right. No, and you're right.
For me, it's Tyreek Hill. I don't know how it wasn't Tyreek Hill.
You know what? It could be Mike McDaniel, believe it or not.
They haven't won yet. It's for like the accomplishments of last. Like, it would have been Patrick Mahomes for last season before it was.
Okay, but
I was making a joke. I love how you're like, it's Mike McDaniel. God,
listen,
you are just the whole, like, you just agreed with me that it should have been Tyreek Hill. That was clearly a joke.
Don't start by including the word accomplishment, because Deion Sanders has accomplished very little at Colorado. He's won 2 or 3 games more than last season.
He's
leading the transfer portal. People are wanting to get the hell out of there. So I just disagree with SI, the shell of SI, naming him Sportsman of the Year.
But Yeti just said was that it's not about accomplishment. It's more about the zeitgeist and the conversation. And you cannot, like, name another story in college football this year bigger than him. You can't. But that's not what this award is. So I agree with you.
Harbaugh would be close because of the scandal.
Well, lately, but that's like, yes. But that's like
very,
negative.
Very lately. But Greg, who would you name as the sports person of the year?
You know, I would have to it's like with my Baseball Hall of Fame vote. I research that. I don't say it off the top of my head. You're right. Nobody jumps out at me. And Deion Sanders, in terms of just hype and attention, certainly merits consideration. But there has to be somebody better. That's all I'm saying. On next week's show, after I've researched it, I'm going to come up with two or three nominees better than that, because it's just it's ridiculous. I want to give a shout out to dog owners and
donors.
That's about 50% of the country, by the way. About 50% of U.S. households contain a dog who they consider a member of the family.
I'm so glad you brought this up. I don't want to interrupt you. I want you to keep going, but I have something for dog owners. Go ahead.
Okay, good. Because here's the thing. I've buried, I don't know how many dogs now.
Jesus.
No. Going back to childhood, I've buried a handful of dogs.
We don't need your bona fides. We got
it. Here's the thing. Every time I buried a dog, I'm like, why don't
First
dogs
of all,
live
why
longer?
Are you burying dogs? I thought you meant that metaphorically.
I did. Like, I'm not burying them in my backyard. Oh, okay. What are you talking
about? Wait a minute. I don't want to I don't want to get PETA called on you.
There's at least one dog buried in your backyard in your life.
I know there's a cat back there.
There's a couple of cats. Yeah. There's a couple of cats. They fit in a big shoebox.
Poor Puddin is back there.
Puddin, yes. That's correct. And listen to me. You know, Jumpin' Charlie will dig in the backyard. To this day, every time Jumpin' Charlie is digging in my backyard, I'm thinking to myself, where did I bury that cat?
I want everyone to know that the last two dogs have not been buried, because those are the ones I've been a part of. Sandy and Riley,
right?
We gave, I don't know what the vet does with them, but they were at the vet. So whatever they do with them.
If humanely.
How come you never get the ashes of a dog?
I bet you could if you asked.
Is that too morbid?
There are people that
we should.
Sure.
Yeah, ashes weigh more than you think, by the way. Human ashes weigh like 7 pounds, which shocked me.
Thank you.
So a dog's ashes weigh like a pound and a half.
What
I was going to say is...
What kind of math is that?
What's so great about human beings that we get to live like 70, 80 years or longer, and the dogs get, you know, a dozen, 12 years, 15 years if they're lucky.
And why do we call them dog years? Like, hey, we don't do this for any other animal. How come dogs get years?
I know. We multiply because we feel so bad that their actual years are so low.
Like cats are 17. Whatever cats are, we never say, oh, in cat years, they're 82.
Right.
Oh, in fish years, they're 63. Why do we give dog years?
I don't know. If you gave dog years to me, I'd be almost 500 years old. That'd be quite an accomplishment.
We honestly coddle dogs too much. We give them years. We just like coddle their odd insecurities about fireworks. It's like, get over it. You know the fireworks aren't going to hurt you. You've experienced these fireworks every year for 7 straight years. Okay? No. They're not going to hurt you.
Yeah, dogs don't get used to anything. When we brought the Christmas tree into the living room and set it up last night.
What did Yeti just learn? Yeti's freaking out, Dad. Hold on a second.
So I Googled, I looked up, I found an article from Choice Mutual on how Americans are burying their pets.
I just got an email literally on the spot that Deion Sanders will join the Levitard show on Monday.
Whoa!
So here's your preview. Go like as we.
He's afraid of Greg Cody Tuesday, though.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
He should be.
But anyway, there are. It's from their survey. 19% of people in the United States want to be buried with their with the remains of their pet.
Weird.
Wow, that is a little weird.
Or loved one. So did you know you could mummify your pet?
Oh, that's gross.
It costs about $9,000 and it's the most uncommon, but that is something you could do.
That's reasonably priced. I'm kidding. That's absurdly priced.
Get a pet mummy.
I would have thought that would have been like $600. Don't tell me the prices on these. I want to guess them.
Okay. All right.
And what about, how do I taxidermy my dead dog?
All right, Chris, what do you guess for taxidermy?
And that is stuffing it?
Yeah.
All right, I knew that, but for the people listening.
And we'll go the starting at price, because that's what I've got.
It's got to be about the same, right? About $7,000?
No. To stuff my dog, probably like $1,500.
The starting price for taxidermy is around $500.
Oh, wow.
It's much more cost effective than a mummifying your pet.
That's a cheap stuffing, though. That's like Greg Cody's Thanksgiving stuffing there. if you want the good stuff, you gotta like probably pay like $1,500. If you want Christie's mom stuffing, you gotta go like probably like $1,500.
Got some sausage working there, baby.
What?
I don't know.
I mean, there is sausage in it.
There you go. Stuffing it.
Cremation.
Yeah, 500
to get cremated. No, that's gotta be like $2,000. Oh, I was thinking. I don't know why I was thinking human, but yeah.
Yeah.
All right, 800.
Nope, starts around $130 on average.
Wow.
Aquamation, okay. Which is it uses what they call alkaline hydrolysis, but it
it's I thought cheap. It was going to be like turn them into a cartoon or something. Right.
No, it's a popular alternative to cremation since it doesn't emit as much carbon or greenhouse gases, and it starts at 70. So it gives you ashes like cremation would. Yeah. So there you go. There's some dead pet facts for you.
And how much would it cost me to buy a dog urn? Because if I outlive Jumpin' Charlie, I'm going to urn him.
The urn is probably between, it doesn't have that on here, but it's probably around $50. You can okay. probably get an urn for $50.
Okay. Before we get off.
Gotta want to urn.
Gotta want to urn.
You can turn your pet's ashes into a memorial stone for $99.
For a dog?
Yeah. Stained glass, $100 per square foot.
Oh, wow.
You can turn them into other things. You can even use the...
That's crazy.
I want to know, like, I want you to Google the weirdest shit you can turn your animal into.
A tattoo is pretty good on that list.
That's not that weird, though. I want weirder.
Yeah, that's not weird.
It's like I turn their skin into a sock. It's like, what?
A vinyl record. You want to guess how much that would cost?
Yeti, shut up.
Wait a minute. I can make my dead dog into a vinyl record?
You could turn ashes. We could turn Greg Cody's ashes into a vinyl pressed copy of Pebble Drive.
I could turn my dad into a vinyl record.
Yes. Let's do it.
You could have.
But when you play it, I want it to have all my sayings. I want to be going, that kind that of thing.
Incredible. An entire Greg Cody album made out of his ashes.
But
for your pet, you can have the cremains pressed into a working vinyl record, and you can decide what sound clips to include on it, starting around $1,100 right now.
Wow. Okay. Okay. Before we get off dogs, I want to...
Baby! Shouts to Adnan Virk.
I want to complete the thought that I began by saying, you know, shout out to the dogs, blah, blah, blah. This is serious, and I'm speaking to the 50% of our listeners who love dogs, who own dogs, and who want their dog to live longer. Listen here. A San Francisco-based biotech company called Loyal is developing drugs to extend a dog's lifespan. Roughly 50% of U.S. households
roughly.
Have dogs as a family member, so ears should be perking. And here's the thing. The FDA has given this drug a, quote, technical section complete designation, which means the FDA agrees the company's data shows the drug is effective. And they're now saying it could be available through your vet as soon as 2026. So in all seriousness, in a couple of years, dog owners, you're going to be, bring your dog to the vet a few times a year, get an injection, maybe even a pill, and your dog is going to live longer.
Why did we come up with this for dogs before humans? Like, what are we doing?
Humans live longer than they used to. I mean, we're doing that for humans.
I'm just saying, but it's not as simple as just here's a pill, boom, living longer.
Right, but with with dogs, you're talking about a species that lives 10 years.
Yeah, but we're talking about a dumb species, so it's like, oh, look, look, he just took the pill. This thing will live. Oh, he ran into the street. And that's the end of this experiment. We need another dog because that's these true. Things are dumb. They do lick us. They lick our faces and they love us no matter what, but they don't lead the league in smart.
Yeah, I cannot disagree that dogs are dumb.
I love dogs. I just, you know.
No, I do too.
Dad, speaking of old, you have to pee, no?
I do have to pee. Yeah, thank you. You want to take a break?
No.
Okay.
Just go ahead. Do you have your diaper on?
No, I don't wear a diaper, but I do have my glass measuring cup.
Dad, that will go. I want you to.
So I'm pissing in it right now as we speak.
It would be that you want to talk about. You always say, what can we do to go viral? Podcast host pisses in. Go ahead. Do it.
I am. I'm pissing as we speak. You don't get it.
We don't hear it. All right. That's wow. I didn't think we could have a worse bit.
I wasn't really pissing.
Everyone thought you were. With the great sound effects, they were like, oh, is that real?
Christopher, right. I have two things to get to that you objected to both of them. So
that we're going to a commercial break.
Are we really? Well, thank God, because these two things are worth the wait. Trust me.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And now a poem about Sheets and Giggles by Yeti Blanc. Ah, Sheets and Giggles help our episodes announce all their deals, like two promo codes. First, all goods are discounted 20%. If you miss on these deals, you'll be sure to lament. Next, choose the best code to match your desire. Code Greg takes off 10% more. Now that's pretty fire. Or buy one, get one half off with code Ho Ho Ho. Is there a better sale in town? You never know. Sheet on your friends this holiday season. Discounts, two promo codes. Now those are good reasons. So make way to sheetsgiggles.com/Greg. Remember, two discounts. Come on, shake a leg. Now use code Greg or code Ho Ho Ho. Lay down on cool sheets as you listen to the show. The end. Support the Greg Cody Show by supporting our friends at Sheets and Giggles. And now, back to your regularly scheduled programming.
I swear, Yeti, you could be a poet. But guys, listen to the words that he says there. Go to sheetsgiggles.com/Greg. Promo. We got two promo codes for you guys. It is a site-wide. If you go to sheetsgiggles.com/Greg, it's 20% off the entire site. Okay, we have two promo codes to get even more off. You can have Boho. That's what we're calling it. Buy one, get one half off the entire site with the promo code HOHOHO. With the promo code Greg, you just get an extra 10%. So if you're going to be buying a lot of stuff and you just want that 30% savings, use promo code Greg and you will get 30% off the entire site, guys. Check it out. Go buy. I do this spiel all the time, but it is the best gift that you can send your family this type of year, your best friends, your cousins, your aunts, your parents, your kids. Get everyone Sheets and Giggles. You'll get the text from them saying how much they love the gift. There's nothing better than sending a gift that people love. If you're a shitty gift giver, I'm a shitty gift giver usually. Okay, you give a gift and no one ever texts you about it because it's just a shirt that they don't end up wearing. Okay, give a gift that actually affects someone you care about's life. You will get a text a couple weeks later and you will be like, wow, I'm a good gift giver now. Hey, honey, I'm not a shitty gift giver anymore. I'm a good gift giver. Sheetsgiggles.com/Greg. Promo code ho 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 for Boho or promo code Greg for that extra 10%. That would mean 30% off, guys. There's never better savings than right now. Go.
And for this week only, I have had my name legally changed to Greg Cody. So I'm Greg Cody this week only. Not Cody, but Code with a D.
That's pretty good.
Well, glad we got the dad jokes segment out of the way.
Yep. And that was dad jokes.
No, that was
number two. Number two.
You know, I have three quick dad jokes.
That was number three.
Let me get to them right now. These are probably the best ever. Number three. What do you call two dentists who are completely different? Molar opposites.
No, that's bad.
Number two.
Yeah, really bad.
Why did the peach buy deodorant? To freshen up his pits.
Bad.
Okay, that's all right.
I'm not laughing,
but it's all right.
Every fruit has pits.
Okay, number one. If Dorothy missed Kansas, what did Toto miss? The rains down in Africa.
That's,
I mean, it's a bad one, but the best of the.
Yeah, that's why it's number one, my friend. It's
just not a good segment.
That's why it's number one. You want to go right to Three Facts, Jack, or no?
Yeah.
Okay.
There are three things that interest him, so sit right back for Three Facts, Jack.
Number three, everybody knows Lego, the build-it toy with more than 400 billion pieces on the planet, but few know how it got its name. Lego is an acronym derived from the Danish phrase leg godt, which means play well.
When did Legos become, like, when did that company become in existence? Because I'm looking at just Kellogg's Eggo, like the waffles.
Right.
Like Lego my Eggo. Mm-hmm. And that was introduced in 1953, so 70 years old. Yeti, do you have an answer yet on Legos?
August 10th, 1932.
Okay. Oh,
wow. That's older than I thought.
So I wonder if at any point, whenever the Lego my Eggo thing was... I wonder if people at Lego were like, why is this Eggo company using Lego?
Yeah, I bet there was an arrangement, financial arrangement.
Or it was just clearly let go my, or what is it, Lego my
Eggo?
Let go of my Eggo.
No, you got to say Lego. It's Lego my Eggo. Anyway, number two, this is in honor of our friend Jessica Smetana. The name Jessica was invented by William Shakespeare. It first appeared in his 1598 play, The Merchant of Venice.
Wow. Should I call Jessica and see if she knew that?
You can if you'd like. Number one.
I'm just going to text her.
No U.S. president has had facial hair of any kind since William Howard Taft in 1913.
They should bring back facial hair with the presidents. There's no reason not to.
They should. Yeah, I would like a Fu Manchu mustache on Biden.
So I'm asking,
do you know who created the name Jessica?
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm asking her.
If she says William Shakespeare, it's going to be crazy.
I want her to say the Allman Brothers Band.
Is Jessica the type that would look it up and then like text me the right answer?
That would be low.
So I've not found anything about Lego ever suing Eggo, but I've seen other people have asked the question. There are people responding. I don't know if these people are attorneys or not, but it doesn't hurt their brand, and you can't sue someone for using that.
Dad, Yeti's talking. We're in the middle of a podcast. He just got up and goes, I just got to go.
Like, important Greg Cody was like, important
what
phone
a calls. See, that is just a good glimpse of my dad not getting what the hell we're doing around here, because... He could have just taken his headphones off and like signaled, I'll be right back. And then you could have kept talking and the audience would have never known the difference. But my dad, in the middle of your sentence, my dad goes, oh, I gotta, I'll be right back.
I'm going to hold out now. If he wants me to finish that, I'm gonna, no, sorry.
Nice hat, asshole.
Yes.
Forgot that I had that.
Here it comes.
Okay.
I'm going to hit him with it as soon as he puts his headphones on.
Yep. Hit it.
Nice hat. Asshole.
Sorry about that.
I mean, Dad, you could have done it much more effectively than that.
How's that?
By the way, Jessica did not know that it was in Shakespeare. But now that I've told her Shakespeare, she's like doing the, oh yeah, it's in The Merchant of Venice type thing.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay. Yeah, sure. Yeah, okay.
But I thought he got it from, see, she's claiming it's more biblical. She goes, originally, she goes, before I said it was Shakespeare, she goes, I thought it was a Hebrew in origin, but I have no idea. And then I was like, Shakespeare came up with it, according to my dad. And she goes, oh, yeah, in The Merchant of Venice, but I thought he got it from a biblical name. But again, I looked this up when I was like 12.
Yeah, so okay. What I just found is it's believed that he created the name by anglicizing the spelling of the biblical name Isca, which means vision or sight in Hebrew.
Now, if you want to tell me, you want to sell me on a segment, it's us undercutting Greg Cody's facts of the day. Like, that is a segment that
you gotta
I am
do that every week
here for. What but I like just, I like the idea of us just searching with our claws every single week to as you're reading them to refute them.
You do that every week, you two.
Speaking of your facts, we are the mystery of Neil Diamond's Sweet Caroline is still lingering. I don't have time to look it up.
Yeah.
So for the first listener to DM me on Twitter. At Yeti Blanc _ or on Instagram at Yeti.Blanc. DM me, not the show. If you do it to the show, you're disqualified. DM me, the first one to DM me will, and they're open, so you can hit me up.
Wait, so they can just say that the word yes or no? Like, you're going to trust them
no,
that they did
they
it all?
No, they can send me the file.
Okay.
Or a link to the file.
Oh, I get what you're saying. Find it.
Find it.
Said.
Cut it up. Send me the video or the audio file of it. I will purchase a Christmas ornament of your choice from the from shop.thegregcodyshow.com.
Just to put a bow on this in the Christmas spirit, Jessica also just wrote, my parents were huge Shakespeare guys. So,
okay, great. Thank you, Jessica, for getting back to us. All right, I got to get to these two things before we move on. Christopher and I were arguing off air most of the week about me wanting to talk about my Spotify top 100 list. Okay.
Oh, Greg. Hey.
Okay, you ready?
Who'd you listen to this year, Dad?
I'll try to be quick. Number 100. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to go from 100.
Did it go that deep? I didn't even see that list. I didn't see all 100.
Oh, I did all 100. In fact, Pebble Drive by Yeti Blanc was number 98.
That was a little insulting, honestly. I feel like I didn't see my top 100, but I would bet it's higher on that for me.
Okay.
Yeah, we had one of our listeners. I was number one on their list. Actually, according to my stats for Spotify, there are three people who I am their number one who have played my tracks more than anyone else this year.
Wow. Jane, Yeti, and that guy. No, I'm just kidding.
Joshua Tony, he had me, and it was cool because he had Tim McGraw on his list, was his number three.
Isn't Joshua Tony Yeti Blanc backwards? No, I'm kidding.
But he had Pebble Drive as number one.
Made no, that is cool. I saw that. I like that. I saw that.
That's great. That's fantastic.
And Greg had you at 96.
98.
98, to be exact.
And bragged about it.
Well, I mean, he made my list.
As much as Greg listens to music, that's cool. I like, as Juju revealed this week, he doesn't listen to much music. Same here. I listen to more podcasts than anything.
Right.
Oh, man. I don't. I listen to music.
I actually, one of my favorite comedians and friend of mine, you know, well, look at me, Louie, Mike Lenoci. I saw his, you know, everyone was, as my dad wants to get to, everyone was posting their Wrapped, but his was the most interesting I saw. His number one artist, and I'm going to forget the name because I'm a piece of shit, who's like the famous star, Lion King, the movie?
Yes, the score.
Was it Hans Zimmer?
Neil Simon did the music.
Hans Zimmer. I think it's Hans Zimmer. And it was like the Dark Knight one. He did like all the Lion King. He's done Inception. Yeah. And I was like, when I saw that was his number one artist. So I'm like,
wow.
I went on and I'm like, let me see what we're doing here. And I put it on for a few minutes. I was like cooking. And I was like, I could see myself listening to this. Like it was nice, just like background music. And I got to shout out Mike Lenoci on that, because he was even saying in his Instagram story, he's like, don't knock it until you tried it. I'm getting a lot of DMs judging me, but it's nice. He uses it creatively, he was saying, whenever he needs to edit or write.
One day someone's list will be topped by Lone Wolf, the score to Hard Knocks Greg's Lobos. One day when I finally finish orchestrating it.
Yes, that's a good one. That's a good one.
That's going to top someone's list one day.
Yes. Okay. All right. Well, nobody asked, but my number one song,
I don't care,
on my entire list for the year was it was recorded and written in 1957-58. It was the B-side of Great Balls of Fire. It was a Jerry Lee Lewis song called You Win Again. And so
still, comma.
Dad, did that big revelation go as like you hoped?
It did. And I want, despite the lawyers listening, I want to play 5 to 10 seconds of You Win Again, if you can squeeze that in right here. Okay? Thank you very much. Thank you. No,
Remember he got Bam so Man. Mad at me a few weeks ago because I didn't play this song?
Damn right. Yeah. The Spinners. Let's go. Oh, that's great. But
he
now
got
you got
so mad
in,
at me
because
I didn't
again.
Play it.
Damn right. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. Now I'm making you all over again. Okay, one more thing before we go.
What would be your Wrapped if it was all the food you ate this year? What would be the number one food item?
Number one would be chicken wings.
Would it, though? I feel like you're just saying that for shtick.
No, number two would be pizza. Number three would be steak.
You don't eat these things. I feel like you're full of shit right now.
What are you talking about?
You and Mom have like rice. I bet it would be rice.
No, it might be pasta. It might be pasta.
You do eat like a bird, so when you do eat rice, you have right. like two spoonfuls of it.
I eat like Larry Bird.
Christy.
No, I don't eat a lot of rice. In matter of fact, truth be known, I loathe rice.
What do you think?
I'm not a big rice fan.
If you know the rap thing where it tells you like the most music you listen to, yeah, like each artist? Like if there was a food wrapped for me, what would be like the most, the thing I ate the most this year? It might be chicken, like white rice, La Granja, chicken. La Granja.
Okay. What if it were limited to Secret Meals only?
And Taco Bell. Taco Bell. Cheesy Gordita Crunch would be on the list for sure.
Okay.
You want specific food items?
I was just, I don't know. Or like, or album. We, you know, we could do restaurant. It could just be by restaurant. Taco Bell Zephyr. It would be La Granja, Taco Bell, Chili's might be on there. Long, Outback. We like Outback.
We like Outback.
Oh, our ramen place that we do on Uber Eats. The ramen. I love ramen.
Yeah, this is good. Yeah, like listeners, send us your Spotify wrap for your food for the year.
Yes. Send us your food wrap.
Okay.
If we get some that we really like, we'll read them on next week's episode or a future episode.
I'm going to stick with chicken wings for me, and I'm not bragging. Believe me, I'm not bragging. Okay. I have to say this because I've saved the most important thing for last.
We got to get to football.
No. I've saved the most important thing for last. The mayor of Miami has named this week, we're coming out Monday, it's the Pride of a Lion Week in Greater Miami.
Has he really?
How much did he pay? How much did Ron pay from his endowment for that to happen? I mean, geez.
This is the week our book comes out. The Pride of a Lion, my book with Ron McGill, comes out on Tuesday the 5th. And on Saturday the 9th, we have a big event at Zoo Miami to celebrate the book. It's sold out, and we're very proud of it.
And in some of the worst podcast producing in history, Greg Cody had Ron McGill send us a terrible sounding. Great content. We're going to play it right here, Dad. You're going to get your wish.
Go ahead.
I want you, Yeti, to play right now that terrible audio that my dad sent as a promo. This is how my dad wanted to sell the Pride of a Lion.
Hi, this is Ron McGill from Zoo Miami. For the past year, I've been collaborating on a book with Miami Herald columnist and podcast host, Greg Cody. My story and photographs, Greg's words. But the book needed a star. Enter Quasi, the first male lion cub ever born in Zoo Miami. This story is not ours, it's Quasi's. The book is called The Pride of a Lion, and it's out beginning Tuesday, December 5th. Our book has earned the prestigious Editor's Pick badge from Amazon and made bestseller lists in several new book categories based on pre-orders. We are so pleased with the way our labor of love turned out and hope you'll pick up a copy.
Did you say to him before yes. that, hey, Ron, can you send us a clip sounding as unnatural as possible?
Well,
Ron, make sure it's the shittiest quality audio that you could possibly get. Maybe go into your car, turn the air conditioning on full blast.
I thought it was great. Thank you, Ron. It's not me making
because
fun
it said your name in it. That's why you think it was great.
Well, because I wrote the script.
See, he was reading. I was like, Dad,
right.
just let
but
him.
I told Ron, feel free to ad lib. Feel free to change it. Say whatever you want to say. Thank you very much. Thank you, Ron. But in all honesty.
Brutal.
Listen, that Amazon editor's pick.
That is really cool.
It's pretty cool.
I saw Ron's post where there like are thousands of books in the running for that, and they choose what, like 10 a month?
There's 100,000 new titles in an average month, and the editor's pick goes to the top 10.
That's crazy, Dad.
That's really cool.
It's insane.
Can we do a standing ovation? Right. No,
I have to say, it's insane.
Dad, you know, that is legitimately f***ing awesome, man.
No, that's great. It is. I'm proud. I'm very grateful and can't wait for Tuesday birthday for the book. So,
did you get a little teary-eyed? No, a little stinger, a little sting. A little sting
I did
here.
Not. I could contrive that and say I did if it would be better for the podcast. But
no, I just went into my computer and wrote a script for Ron to read for the podcast.
No, but I think I mentioned before though, and I will do this on Tuesday. I will go into Barnes and Noble to try to find my book on display in an actual bookstore. And that's going to be emotional for me. I promise you that.
You should do the thing that celebrities do. Oh my God, Dad. We should do that and put it out on the Greg Cody Show. We'll I'll videotape you going in there. Like I've seen like Justin Timberlake do this. Or like, cause like it's something because of like, if the worker sees you, they might be like, hey, sir, you're not allowed to write in this book.
I know.
But like you should like sign a copy and be like, all right, here it is. This is the location. And like, we'll see. And if you hear this and you go find the book, video yourself. Getting the book so we can like get that payoff.
By the way, I don't know if this is for the air. I should be telling you guys this off the air, but
ooh, a little secret cut for the audience.
Listen, I have a box full of books. I have like 44 books. I want to give some of them away to our listeners. Yeah. You got to figure out a way for a little contest. Nobody, you know, you don't have to pay anything, but some sort of a little contest.
Self-addressed that... stamped box.
Whatever. You guys can figure out what the contest is, but I do want to give away some of these books. And I'm really excited about Tuesday the 5th birthday. Anyway, let's get to football, hey?
Dad, I'm super excited right now because I'm having nearly a perfect gambling Sunday watching NFL football. We have a lot to get to. We don't even have to get to my perfect gambling Sunday. We have to get to college football. We have to get to the Dolphins. Yeti did just a chef's kiss of production with a new song. Did I spoil that? Am I allowed to say that, Yeti?
It's your mom's musical debut.
It is.
Sort of.
If you remember, you know what? We're going there first. If you remember on the Lebitard show, my dad, you know, and I like to pat myself on the back here because, you know, if it was me really producing the show, telling Dan about this thing that happened between my dad and I. So this is all because of me right here, basically. That's what I want to say.
Thank you. Thank you, Chris.
I pointed out to Dan that my dad complained that my mom didn't tell him it was cold out, as if that would be any kind of responsibility of my mom's to tell her husband, hey, by the way, it's cold out today.
Correct.
So Yeti, as he normally does, got inspired. And with the holidays right around the corner, I think he put together a classic.
I slept in too late.
Well, I took the dog outside.
Now I will be raised.
Your laziness I will chide.
A little heads up.
Just look it up for yourself.
Would have been nice.
Why is technology your vice?
It's cold enough for snow flurries.
Greg, you could Google it in a hurry.
I can feel the chill rush through the door.
The high today is 74.
But couldn't you say?
There's no need to tell you.
That it is cold outside.
Oh my God.
Wow, that's great.
I have two questions. I have two pressing questions. One. How much did you have to pay my mom to do that?
She volunteered.
I don't think you gave her the whole story. So, Chris, what's your second question?
My second question is, did you tell her that she was supposed to be singing?
No. That's where the rub comes in.
I mean, it's just like, I love mom and her effort there, but it seemed like she was more talking than singing.
Yes. Right. That's what she thought she had to do. And I'm sure Yeti was coaching her into actually holding notes and, you know, doing something that amounted to singing. And, you know, it was what it was. But I thought it was splendid.
I think it's honestly, it couldn't have been better.
It was wonderful. Now, what was the fallout after the fact? Was there any tension in the home after we got done with that experience?
There was a little bit of you misled me. Like I thought I was coming on to, you know, do 2 minutes repeating a phrase or two that I wouldn't be told to actually sing. And she's not a singer. And I get that.
She's not?
No.
God. Man, she fooled us.
She has a really good speaking voice, though. I like the tone of her speaking voice is really nice.
Way to go, Yeti. I think you saved it. Judges, did Yeti save it? Yep, he saved it.
I'll tell her that. I'll tell her she's got a good tone. She'll appreciate that.
But that's just a classic. I'm going to be playing that for Christmases for the near future.
Honestly, I've been humming the song all day. Da-da-da-da-da. It's one of those songs that gets in your head.
Dad, please tell me you're excited that FSU is out of the playoff.
You know, I feel bad for FSU, but you know what? FSU, Mike Norvell, life is tough. Life isn't always fair, you know, especially when you got to pick the final four teams. Sometimes you're going to be on the short end. Deal with it. But I choose to spin it positively. Okay, keep in mind, this is a Miami-based podcast. The bleeping Orange Bowl game just got the matchup of the year with FSU against Georgia.
Matchup of the year?
Matchup of the year.
The blowout.
Non-CFP division.
You mean the blowout of the year?
Non-CFP division.
You mean the most predictable bowl game of them all?
I don't know about that.
Dad, what do you mean you don't know about that? That like that is just I was okay with everything you said up until you said they that
Florida
I mean,
State has not had a good offense since
obviously
Travis went out.
It's right. A fun bowl, Dad, but it's not a good matchup. Like
it's number 5 against number 6.
But Dad, that's my FSU, it will be a victory for FSU if they keep it close.
That is a fake number six also. That's been the greatest team in the nation for years now. I mean, what was it, 28, 29 straight games they won? Right. And they lose one game and they go from 1-6? That's weird. Like, so I'm a Florida State guy. I wanted them in the playoff, and I'm bummed that they're not there. I can do the math to see, okay, if they're really doing four best teams, I could see where they get counted out. I didn't want them to get counted out. I think they got screwed, especially if we want to throw cheating Michigan in there, whatever. But the cheating, I didn't really care about it until now, you know, it nudges out Florida State. However, I'm more perplexed that Georgia can drop from 1-6 after they're better than Texas, but somehow they work Texas in just because of the timing of this loss. That's weird to me.
Okay. It really helped Texas's case that they beat Alabama in Tuscaloosa. That really helped. You can deny that it helped, but I guarantee you that was a reality.
Oh, it helped their case, but I mean, you can't tell me that Texas is better than Georgia.
Look, as a fake Miami fan, it was fun for me to just FSU being left out. The best argument for FSU being in is, you know, because everyone talks about the way FSU quote unquote looked the last few weeks.
But they toughed it out and won.
Right. But my point is everybody then forgets how it took a essential Hail Mary for Alabama to beat Auburn.
Yeah.
And Auburn lost to New Mexico State. So it's like a week ago, Alabama, yes, it was a heroic win, but almost had a terrible loss.
Right.
Like, that is not a good eye test game. And it just seems like that's the best argument for FSU. Like, really, like, it just seems like there's a preconceived notion towards the SEC. And it's just, this is what we think of this conference. Like, what you're basically telling FSU is, you just play in an inferior, you're playing in an inferior sport. Because you did every single thing you could do, and you still, it's just not good enough.
Yeah, the committee, they did the whole bot thing where they're on the Musk algorithm where if their goal is to get everybody pissed off at each other and yelling at each other, they have succeeded.
Right. It's the reason that they're expanding next year. It's the reason we're going from four teams all the way to 12.
You're still
going to
have this, though. You're always going to have it at the bubble.
I know, but here's the thing.
The stakes aren't as high down there.
Nobody gives a shit about the 13th team that's left out. People do care about the fifth team, particularly when it's the first Power Five unbeaten team ever to be left out of the college football playoff.
It is weird that they had Georgia behind FSU because by the math that they showed us, Alabama, you know what I mean? They had Alabama ahead of FSU. So they're basically saying this schedule, this team is impressive, and Georgia's only loss was to that team above them. So it's like,
clearly, if they're doing the four best teams, that's why Georgia, it blows my mind that they're not there. If they're really doing, count FSU out for the four best team argument, but then they still put Georgia behind Florida State, it's weird.
But Yeti, so you're saying, but then who do you have out? Texas?
No. Oh, yeah, Texas. Yeah.
So you have it being Washington, Michigan, Georgia, Alabama?
If you're really doing four best teams.
But dude, but they played head to head. You cannot have Texas, Texas beat Alabama.
Right. Alabama beat Georgia, but they're clearly, I mean,
head to head is like one of the main criteria in this thing.
Yeah,
like,
but it's just timing with Georgia. Then why let Alabama in? Why are you going to let Alabama in then?
I know, but that's the thing about college football. It's axiomatic. If you lose early in the season, you can survive it. If you lose Saturday when you had to win, that's a death knell. I mean, Georgia, they lost the game they had to win. I don't feel bad for them. I do feel bad for FSU.
I know what axiomatic means. Can you explain to Chris? Because he's looking really lost.
Yeah.
That's an Edwin Pope, my mentor, Edwin Pope. That was a word he always used.
Georgia native Edwin Pope.
If it was up to Greg Cody, Michigan would be out because of Harbaugh's cheating.
Yeah.
And then it would all make sense.
It would. It really would. But it's a great Final Four. I'm loving it. And when I say the Orange Bowl lucked into a hell of a matchup.
Dad, it's a great game it's two good programs. But in terms of the game, it's going to be one of the biggest spreads of the major bowls.
Chris is right on the spread.
What matters to me is it's the Bitter Bowl. It's the two teams that were left out. It's the two teams that feel like they were screwed. And it's a 5-6 matchup. I'm going to research it. I don't know if in the history of the Orange Bowl game, when they're not in the CFP cycle that they've ever had two top six teams. That's unusual. It's a good matchup. And if FSU
I have the spread right here. I have the spread, by the way.
Okay.
I see it right now.
Double digits?
13.
Okay. That's okay.
I'm just saying.
FSU,
you just said it was the best bowl. You said it was the best game. Like,
I think it's the best matchup. I don't care how it turns out. I think if you're the Orange Bowl committee, and this is not your year to be in the CFP, you literally cannot do better than 5-6. It's the best matchup possible. And you've got the two teams that both feel screwed. They both feel they deserve to be in the Final Four. And you have that matchup. I think it's great. If I were the head of the Orange Bowl committee right now, I would be doing handstands and cartwheels.
No, it's a good bowl for them. Like, I'm just saying, like, right, because it could have ended up being Oregon, Washington. Like, I'm just saying that the game, like, I'm with you on every single, like, yeah, the 5-6 teams are always going to be the ones that are like, oh, we should be there. Like,
right,
you could say that every year about the 5-6 team, but it's just, yeah, like, in terms of the game, this is going to be probably a blowout.
Well, we'll see. FSU, I don't know how much the intangibles mean. FSU has a chip on its shoulder. FSU is the team that wants to prove they want to win this game and end 14-0 and be able to go to their graves saying, we got screwed like no team in college football history had ever been screwed. And they have to win. They have to win to be able to say that.
You know what the Fiesta Bowl is? It's Oregon versus Liberty.
I know.
And guess Liberty. What? That's the same spread. I mean, it's 1 point bigger. It's a 14-point spread, but right. that's what Georgia Florida State is. It's okay. Oregon Liberty.
That's fine. And the obvious reason is that FSU doesn't have its starting quarterback, which is a factor in them not making of the course. Final Four.
But that's the point why I'm right about this game is
okay. Well, we're going to see about that.
Florida State, if it's a field goal game, Florida, even if they lose by a field goal, Florida State can be like, see, we should have been in. And I actually will agree. If they play a field goal game with Georgia, even if they lose, then I will be like, oh, okay, maybe they should have been in that game.
Right.
But I think they'll probably lose by 20.
Okay. We'll see. I'll probably be at the game. I'm not sure yet. But
you see, Mike probably. Ryan now, it seems like his team FSU. He's like, you know,
God.
He's as a Miami guy, he's envisioning a scenario where that's Miami. And he's like, what the hell? Like, that they should be in.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. Speaking of Miami.
I feel like there's nothing even to talk about with the Dolphins. The Dolphins just do what the Dolphins do. They beat bad teams and stop coming for me with the whole they don't beat good teams. All right. We'll worry about that when we get there. All right.
You have to beat the teams that you're supposed to beat. That's a big part of the game.
How about not having bad losses? Can we just celebrate that? Throughout my entire life, the Dolphins have been favored in games. They always lose those games, and now they win them. So yeah, I'm just going to celebrate this, and I'm not going to like hold it against them that they played three crappy teams in a row.
Right. I want to say this and only this about the Dolphins. I want to plug what I wrote in my column, which I invite everyone to read, and it's that in the 66-year history of the Associated Press NFL MVP Award, a wide receiver has never won league MVP. Jerry Rice never won. Never has a wide receiver won.
Ooh, are you making the case?
Tyreek Hill, yes, I am making the case.
That's, hey, I like that. I mean,
he's going to be the first 2,000 guy ever. I am making the case that Tyreek Hill needs to be the first wide receiver ever, assuming he isn't injured. Knock wood, and whoa, continues to do what he's doing. Yes, he is the reason that Dolphin fans right now are hopeful of a run at the Super Bowl. He's the reason. I know Tua's had a great season, partly because of Tyreek Hill, but Tyreek Hill has made the difference on this team. Tua became the quarterback they thought he would be when they made that mega trade for Tyreek. He deserves to be on top of the MVP race right now.
I mean, I commend your take. I don't think it's a ridiculous one. I disagree. I do think Tua should be, and I think Tyreek has made that point. Anytime that's brought up, he kind of says, no, like, respect my guy Tua here.
Yeah, of course.
There were a couple throws today that Tua made where Tyreek was running up to him after and was like that second bomb where Tyreek got a little turned around, but it just ended up right in his breadbasket. Yes. Like, it couldn't have been a more perfect throw.
Right.
Because it was one of those things where Tyreek got lost trying to turn around, and then it just was like there.
Right.
And it was just perfect. So, yeah, I mean, I'm going to take Tua in that debate of who's the MVP, but yeah, Tyreek is, I love him so much. Like, I would, yeah, I'd love to just be able to cook him dinner every night for the rest of his life.
Wow. What an offer.
I would be his chef for free. I mean, it would probably hurt his, his, I'm sure he has a good chef right now. And if all of a sudden I was his chef, that would be pretty underwhelming for him.
It'd be a letdown.
I just saw an NFL Network commercial with Alec Ingold in it.
What? Like the fullback?
The Dolphins fullback. It's because it's so rare to have a fullback.
It is.
That they were like, we need to celebrate this guy. Did you see Jalen Waddle with that miss right in his, like, right at him?
Oh, my God.
And I have a theory on what happened there.
What?
He did not expect Tua to throw an accurate pass on the run. That was just a setup because Tua's bad on the run. And that was, like, out of the pocket. So, like, it was such a shocking thing for Tua to be on target that he dropped it. That was the joke.
Well, I know the exact play you mean. When that play happened, I was groaning like a fan. Why? Because Jalen Waddle is a Greg's Lobo.
Ah.
First and foremost, he's a Lobo. And yeah.
As good as Jalen obviously is, he's good for let me look up the field and like an easy drop every once in a while.
Yeah, I haven't seen that Waddle dance nearly enough this season. What's he got, 3 TDs?
I mean, he's just throwing it to Tyreek every single throw. Like
the MVP?
There were a few times where I saw Waddle and Mostert like joking with McDaniel on the sideline, and it made me feel good that there's no animosity to, oh, so you just throw it to Tyreek. Okay, good.
Right. Yeah, you're right. And speaking of Mostert, he's also having a Pro Bowl season. They have like such weapons on offense. It's unbelievable. Should we wrap up? Is that where we're at?
Yeah.
Let's wrap up.
Wait, no, let me say Van Ginkle, though. Can we just say his name once?
Oh, how about that? We love him.
The defensive player of the week, he's got to be. Sack.
The hair.
Pick six.
Yep.
Hair.
The hair. The hair counts. And it doesn't count. Almost doesn't count. He came this close to blocking a punt as well.
I did when I was early on in the season, preseason, I like went to training camp and I like did a social media video and I did a sarcastic thing about Van Ginkle, about will Van Ginkle take the next step? It was something no one was asking. So I was like doing a sarcastic report. I'm like, will Van Ginkle take the next step for the Dolphins? So I can say that I was on the beat of Van Ginkle before anyone.
You were. And when Jalen Phillips was lost for the season with an Achilles injury, they look at Van Ginkle to step up. And two games in, he really has. That's huge.
Hard Knocks really pulled at the heartstrings with that Jalen Phillips injury.
Oof. That's what they do.
Yeah.
That's what Hard Knocks does.
Is it bad that the first thing I thought of when he said Hard Knocks was Hard Knocks Greg's Lobos?
Yeah.
Hell no.
That's exactly where my mind went.
That's what everybody's thinking.
We didn't play Phillips angle there.
That's right.
All right,
everybody's thinking it.
All right, Pod family, we really appreciate you. I like to end every episode the exact same way. So
yes, I do.
We love you. That kind of thing.
We love you.
Thanks for your support.
Do I say yeah? I don't say you. I say we love you. Do I do that?
You're a big.
I do think you are a love you. A lot of people are. They're afraid to say you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Softens it.
You're a big Pod family.
We love
Pod
you.
Family guy for sure.
Yeah, we love you, Pod family. We really do. And check us out next week. Thank you. Appreciate it. Appreciate you.
Was that you really keeping it fresh in the bedroom, trying to really like have a unique exit there?
Baby.
Okay. Real original.
I got a wife who's singing now. She's on record singing baby.
All right. That's
how about that.
Keep it going, Greg.
And you know it. And you know it. See you next week, everyone. Good night. Or good morning, that kind of thing.